11 o'clock. How you guys doing? Hey, I think you're doing all right. You're doing all right. Welcome. If you happen to be a guest, let me introduce myself. My name is Brian Anderson. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm going to be teaching out of the Bible in just a moment. If you have a Bible, you have an app, open it up to Luke chapter 11. Luke 11, we're going to begin in verse 1 in just a moment. Before I do that, though, I want to show you a short video about the Cause Conference that we have coming up here at BC in a little less than 2 weeks. So let's go ahead and run that video.
The Cause Conference is an opportunity for young adults to embrace what God is doing in the world today. At the conference, attendees will participate in sessions about vocation, calling, and leadership, and experience transforming worship and prayer. We will share meals and laughter, worship together, pray for one another, and ask how God is inviting us to live out His cause. The cost is $55, and you can register online or at the table in the lobby.
All right, how many of you are 18 to 35 years old? 18 to 35, raise your hands. Some of you are lying. 18 to 35. All right, if you raise your hand, if you're in that age group, that is who this conference is for. You are. And there are people in that age group flying in or driving in from all over the United States to attend this conference, and it's right here in your own backyard. It's going to be in our high school youth building, and it's going to start not this Thursday, but a week from Thursday. It's going to be Thursday night, all day Friday, Friday night, all day Saturday. And then it'll end with our Saturday night service. Now, some of you might be thinking, oh, Brian, I can't go to all of it. Well, go to what parts of it you can go. But I think that this conference is not only going to be a great conference for everybody who attends, but I think for some of you who are 18 to 35, I think this is going to be a life-altering experience for some of you. You know, the kingdom of God really is a cause worth living for. And a cause worth dying for. And that's what this conference is going to be about. So I want to strongly encourage you, if you're in that age group, man, sign up. If you want to ask questions about this, we have a table out in the lobby. We'll have somebody out there afterwards. We have a computer out there as well. So if you want to, you know, register out there, you can do that. You can do it on your phone as well. But I think it's going to be a great, great conference. I would love, love, love for everybody in our church who's 18 to 35 to attend that conference. I think it's going to be life-altering for many of you. All right, we're going to receive our offering before we get into the message. So if the ushers want to come forward, and let's not only pray and ask God to bless the offering, but most importantly, let's do our best right now to open up our hearts to God. And let's all as individuals say, God, would you speak into my heart this morning out of the Bible, whatever I need to hear from you, God. I want you to speak very clearly to me. Would you pray that with me? Lord, thank you for the opportunity to partner with what you're doing in the world financially. And God, whenever we give back to you, we pray that you would use the money that we give, not only to lift up and glorify the name of Jesus, but also to really help people in tangible ways. Thank you, God, that we have a church that's able to help and bless people in our community week in and week out. Bless our finances, God, and bless us and our faithfulness in giving back to you. But now, Lord, as we begin to study your word and worship you by studying your word, I ask, Lord, that you would speak very clearly into every heart and every mind. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fill me as I deliver this message, that you would give me the gift of teaching, and that you would have your way in every single person's life that's here in this room, that's in the lobby, that listens later online. Have your way, God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you know that God wants you to be successful in life? If you didn't know that, I want to tell you, God wants you to be successful in life. In fact, one of the most famous verses in the Bible, John 10, verse 10, Jesus says, the thief, the devil, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came, Jesus says, that you might have, what's that next word? Life. If you're taking notes, underline the word life. That you might have life and have it abundantly. That word life, in the original language, the New Testament was written in, Greek, it's the word Zoe, Z-O-E. And it means abundant life, dynamic life, successful life. That's the kind of life that God wants each of us to live. In fact, our daughter is now a junior in high school. When she was born, we had a particular name picked out for her. But when we saw her in the hospital, we were like, this name does not fit her. And the name that came to mind that we decided to name her is Zoe. So her name is Zoe because of the meaning of that word, successful, abundant, dynamic life. God wants you to be successful in your life. And I've been telling you in this series that oftentimes the difference between success and failure in life comes down to the equipment that we use. I mean, for example, have you ever tried to comb your hair with a toothbrush? That doesn't work very well, does it? Unless, of course, you're Pastor Tom or Pastor Mario. Just teasing, all right? God does want you to be successful in life. So he's given us essential equipment to help us to be successful. But we have to know what that equipment is, and we have to know how to use it. And so that's what this series has been about. And so we talked about how God has given us the essential equipment of the Bible to help us be successful in life. I've been telling you that God's will, for the most part, is found in God's Word. So we need to become people of the Bible. I told you that God uses problems to help us be successful in life. God has given us a spiritual family, and he's given us the Holy Spirit to help us be successful in life. And this morning, we're going to look at the essential equipment that God has given us called prayer. God has given us the activity of prayer so that we can be successful in life. I had you turn to Luke 11, verse 1. It says this. And it came about that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John, meaning John the Baptist, also taught his disciples. Now, what do you think it was that this disciple saw in the prayer life of Jesus that prompted him to ask Jesus to teach him and the rest of the disciples to pray like Jesus was praying? What do you think it was? Do you think it was because Jesus was using really long theological terms in his prayers and that is what this guy wanted to emulate in the prayer life of Jesus? I don't think it was that. Maybe it was the posture that Jesus was praying in. Maybe Jesus was praying on his knees. Maybe Jesus was flapping his arms in some sort of weird way or kicking his feet, and the guy thought, I want to learn how to pray like that. You think that's what it was? No, I don't think that's what it was either. What I think this guy saw in the life of Jesus, in his prayer life, is a sense of depth that Jesus had with God the Father and how he was experiencing that depth of fellowship with God the Father through his prayer life. And that is what this guy wanted to experience. It was a depth of fellowship with God when Jesus prayed. And that's what they wanted. So they said, teach us, Jesus, to pray like that. You know, I've been a pastor for a long time. And I found over the years that different followers of Jesus, even very mature followers of Jesus, will sometimes come to me or maybe one of the other pastors, and they'll confess that their prayer life at the moment wasn't really as rich as it maybe it had been at an earlier time in their walk with Jesus. You know, maybe that's the way that you feel right now. In fact, I've heard it described this way. I've heard people say things like, you know, when I was a new Christian, I mean, the thought of talking to the creator of the universe and the thought of him listening to me and responding to my cares and my concerns, it was so overwhelming that I could barely take it in. And so I prayed all the time. I prayed when I got up in the morning. I prayed on my way to work. I prayed when I got to work. I prayed at lunch at my desk. I prayed over my family during dinner. I prayed with my kids when I put them to bed. I mean, I was a praying monster. And it brought me such great joy. And God was answering my prayers right and left. But then, I don't really know what happened. But the whole prayer thing just kind of cooled off. And I don't actually pray very much anymore. You ever felt that way? See, the truth is, almost all Christians, at least from time to time, will go through something that I call prayer fade. Prayer fade. You know, oftentimes there'll be seasons in a Christian's life where sometimes their prayer life is just filled with joy and eagerness, anticipation, supernatural things are happening in answer to their prayers. It's very exciting. And then for some strange, unknown reason, their prayer life begins this mysterious descent. And then at a later time, something will happen that will catalyze their prayer life again, and they'll start praying like crazy again. And then usually the prayer fade will come back. See, the fact is there's an ebb and a flow to everyone's prayer life. Why is that? Well, if we can understand why it happens, maybe, just maybe, we can keep it from happening to us, or at least keep it from happening to us so often. So why do Christians sometimes stop praying or stop praying as much? Let me give you three reasons. First of all, a big part of our motivation to pray subsides when the storms of life become calm. You know, when the storms of life are raging, it's easy to pray like crazy, isn't it? I mean, when you're afraid of losing your job at work because they're doing all kinds of layoffs, man, you pray. Or when one of your kids is going through a really difficult time, or maybe they're rebelling in some way. Or when you or maybe a loved one is diagnosed with some life-threatening illness, man, you pray. You pray fervently. You pray intensely. You pray all the time. But then, when that storm passes and God proves himself to be faithful to you once again, a big part of our motivation to pray begins to subside. And that's when this prayer fade begins to happen. But I want you to know, our prayer fade affects the heart of God. And what I mean by that is that God is not beyond the kind of feelings that a parent experiences, for example, when the only time your kid ever calls home from college is when he or she runs out of money. You know, God is not above feeling used by his children. And so I hope you would ask yourself, well, how do we keep this from happening in our lives? How do I keep from experiencing prayer fade, or at least as often? Because most of us don't want it to happen, do we? So how can we prevent it from happening? Let me give you two things. First of all, we need to establish a regular prayer time and a regular prayer place where we pray. In fact, Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6:6. He said, "But you, when you pray, go into your inner room. And when you've shut your door, pray to your Father who's in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you." So the first thing I want you to notice here is that Jesus is establishing a regular time of praying. He says, when you pray. Not if you pray, but when you pray. It's an expected activity. It's part of our essential equipment for life. And so Jesus is telling us, as his followers, that if we want to be effective in prayer, then we need to develop a kind of daily rhythm for a sequestered time of prayer in our life. In other words, it needs to become a routine. It needs to become a habit, a prayer time. You know, a lot of people say, well, I just pray all day long. I talk to God all day long. That's a wonderful thing to do. But that's not enough. There needs to be a specific time where you connect with God on a very heartfelt level, and there's no other distractions. It's just you and God, a specific time where you connect with God every single day. And that time could be early in the morning. It could be midday. It could be in the afternoon. It could be at dinner time. It could be late at night when you're going to bed. It doesn't really matter when. But it needs to be the same time every day, so it becomes part of your daily routine. You know, just like brushing your teeth. You do it every day, or taking a shower, or combing your hair, or making your bed. Some of you are thinking, Brian, I don't do any of those things every day. That's another sermon for another day, all right? And you know, this time of prayer, the actual time, you know, it can change during different seasons of your life. Maybe you, for a long time, you were getting up and praying first thing in the morning, and then you just had a brand new baby. Or you started working the late shift at work or something. It's okay to change the time that you meet with God, but it needs to be regular so it becomes a routine. And then Jesus also exhorts us to establish a regular place that we pray as well. He says back in verse 6, go into your inner room. Some translations say, go into your prayer closet. He's talking about a specific location, a specific place that becomes kind of a holy of holies. It's the place that you meet with God. It's the place that you think of as, you know, the time I connect with God and the place. And it needs to be a place where you have sufficient privacy. And it needs to have sufficient comfort as well. You think of it as a holy place. Could be a certain room in your house. Could be a certain chair in your house. It could be the couch. It could be your bed. It could be, you know, your car. It could be at your desk at work. But a specific place. You know, I have a friend who actually, well, one of the translations says, go into your prayer closet. And so he took that literally and actually cleaned out one of his closets. And he made it, you know, took a chair in there, made it kind of a comfortable place. And that was the location where he met with God. You know, for me, it's always worked out well for me that I had a particular prayer chair. It's a very comfortable chair, kind of reclines and all that. And the actual chair for me has changed over the years. You know, chairs wear out. And so over the decades, the chair has changed. But that's worked well for me. I don't know what might work for you, but it needs to be a specific place and a specific time. And it needs to be regular. And if you will develop just those two things in your life, it is so much more difficult for prayer fade to begin to happen to you. And then the second thing Jesus says that we need to do to keep prayer fade from happening to us is not to get into a formula of prayer that can become repetitive and meaningless. Jesus says in Matthew 6:7, and when you're praying, don't use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they'll be heard for their many words. He's saying, don't just go through the motions of prayer. Don't get into a formula of prayer that can just become sort of like you going on autopilot, where you say the same things over and over and over to God. No, this is a relationship with God. So God wants you to be honest with him. He wants you to share the things that are going on in your life with him. I mean, you don't say the same things over and over and over to other people that you have a relationship with in your life, right? Those of you that are married, you don't say the same thing over and over again every day to your spouse or your kids or your friends. Now, some of your wives are thinking, well, my husband does. He just grunts all the time. That's all I can get out of him. You know, he does say the same thing. Again, that's another sermon for another day for husbands. But Jesus is saying here that if you're struggling with something in your life, tell God about it. If you're being tempted in some way, don't hide it. Tell God about it. If you're feeling lonely or discouraged, tell God about it. God wants you to discuss every area of your life with him. Now, one of the things that oftentimes happens to us, and I get asked this question all the time about prayer. Well, Brian, I begin to pray, and my mind starts getting distracted. Has that ever happened to you? If you're here and you say it doesn't happen, you're lying. Because it happens to everybody. So let me give you a few things that might help you from being as distracted when you pray. Some people, to become less distracted, what they do is they actually write out their prayers to God. They write them out longhand, and then they say them to God, or they type them out longhand, and they say them to God. Other people actually say their prayers to God out loud, and that helps them from being distracted. Some people have a prayer list, and they pray through that prayer list, and it helps them from being distracted. Some people pray through the Psalms, and so they know each day what psalm they're on. Other people pray through the Lord's Prayer that's found in Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13. I have a friend who prays through the Book of Common Prayer that's put out by the Episcopal Church. You know, for me, one of the things that helps me from being too distracted is whenever I go to my prayer chair, I always make sure that I have a pen and a piece of paper next to me, because inevitably when I start praying, my mind wanders, and it usually wanders to something that I need to remember to do. I need to remember to do this. It could be mundane, but I need to remember to talk to this person. I need to remember to do this or whatever. And it distracts me from connecting with God. And so what I've learned over the years is if I will just jot that thing down on the piece of paper, then I know it's there, then I know when my prayer time is over with God, then I won't forget to do it because I've already jotted it down. If that helps you from being too distracted, then begin to do it. A very well-known pastor and Christian author, he said it like this, and I totally agree with him. He says the main thing, talking about prayer, the main thing is that you integrate into your daily life, just like you would eat or sleep or exercise, a time and a place and a genuine style of praying. Now listen to this part. So that when you're done and you go about your day, you can say, I just met with God. I talked to him, I listened to him, and we connected on a soul level. If you do that on a consistent basis, you will more than likely keep yourself from going through major prayer fade. So why do we sometimes stop praying as much as Christians? Sometimes it's because when the storms of life become calm. A second reason we sometimes stop praying as much is when we have guilt or shame in our life. You know, if you're going through prayer fade right now, one of the things that will help you to figure out why is to do some backtracking. Do some backtracking and try to remember when your prayer life began to fade. Because when people do that, some people will think, you know, as I think back and I'm honest with myself, my prayer life began to fade about the time that I started getting back into partying again. I started going out with people I shouldn't probably be going out with. I started going out late at night. And as I do some backtracking, That's when my prayer life began to fade. Other people might say, you know, it's when things got really busy at work and I started putting in all those extra hours at work. And as I think back, that's when my prayer life began to descend. Someone else might say, you know, it was when I started going back to school. I got so overwhelmed with school that I just kind of started shutting prayer out of my daily life. Someone else might say, you know, it was when I started going back to the gym. And I really got into the gym. I was going 6 or 7 days a week, multiple hours a day. And as I do some backtracking, you know, that's when everything began to fade. That's when my church attendance began to drop off. That's when my prayer life began to drop off. I stopped reading my Bible. I stopped going to my small group. Someone else might say, well, for me, you know, my prayer life began to drop off when I started allowing my mind to fantasize, and I started looking at things on the internet that I shouldn't probably be looking at, clicking on websites that I shouldn't be clicking on. That's when my prayer life started to go down the toilet. See, the fact is, old-fashioned sin will create an ever-widening gap in your relationship with God. And the wider the gap, the less likely it is that you're going to pray on a regular basis. Like the psalmist said in Psalm 66:18, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. We know that when we have a gap in our relationship with God, that He doesn't hear us, and so we stop praying. Whenever we feel like we're not very close to God, we stop praying as much. In fact, somebody said it like this, and I totally agree. There's no deep, ongoing fellowship with God without total obedience to Him. Total obedience. You know why some of us don't really pray much? It's because we have conflict on the inside of us. See, there's part of us that wants to be in close fellowship with God. But there's another part of us that doesn't. You know, part of us wants to pray and have our relationship with God be like it used to be. But see, deep down, we know that there's a barrier that we've created between us and God, and we've created that by our own sin. And we know that we need to get that squared away before we can get back into that completely yielded, warm, loving fellowship relationship with God again. But the good news is, if you're in that situation right now, you can get back to the way it used to be very, very quickly. It's not complicated. You can do it very quickly. How? By stopping what you're doing, repenting of it, and asking God to forgive you. You know, like God says in Isaiah 1 verse 18, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins were as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they were red like crimson, they will be like snow. How can our sins become like snow? By confessing them to God and repenting of them. That's what the Apostle John saying in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, God says, I want our relationship to be back the way it used to be also. And all you have to do is admit your sin and come back to me. And then we can begin to relate closely again. Maybe that's something that some of you need to do. See, in other words, what God says to us is, get back to the basics. Get back to the fundamentals. You know, some Christians think that you can reach a certain spiritual maturity level someday where you don't have to do the basics anymore. You don't have to do the fundamentals anymore. What are the fundamentals? Attending church regularly, praying on a regular basis, reading God's word on a regular basis, being in close fellowship with some other believers, you know, those kinds of things. You can never become so mature that you can get away from the fundamentals. Never. It's just like a professional athlete. You know, professional athletes, they can never get away from the fundamentals. And whenever they start doing poorly, the first thing they do, ask any NFL football player, if they start doing poorly, the first thing they do is they go back to the basics. They go back to the fundamentals. And that's how it is following Jesus. We can never get away from the basics. And when we get back to the basics, then prayer becomes part of our daily rhythm again. So why do we as Christians sometimes stop praying as much? When the storms of life become calm, when we have guilt or shame in our life, and the third thing is when we go through some sort of major discouragement. And there can be a lot of reasons that we go through discouragement. You know, maybe some of you are discouraged about prayer right now because you've listened to some overzealous Bible teacher who oversells the biblical promise associated with praying. Where they've said to you something like, you've listened and they said something like, well, if you really pray about something and you just believe that God will do it, then he'll do it. Then it'll happen. Not necessarily. Why not? Because our God is in the heavens. And he does whatever he pleases. Not whatever we please, but whatever he pleases. Sometimes we're just wanting God to do what we want to happen, but that's not God's plan. That's not God's will. But whenever you go through some sort of discouragement that prayer didn't, quote, fix, oftentimes you'll be tempted to give up on prayer. Well, I really prayed fervently that my dad would survive the surgery. But he didn't. And so I've kind of given up on prayer. I really prayed for months and months and months that my wife and I would be able to reconcile our differences and our marriage would be healed, but it didn't happen. And so I've kind of given up on prayer. I really, really prayed for my child that he would get out of his rebellion. But he's even more rebellious. So why waste my breath? Prayer doesn't really work. And if God doesn't really care, or God won't do anything about the things that I'm bringing him in prayer, then why should I keep praying at all? You ever felt that way? Everybody feels that way from time to time when you're discouraged. Every committed follower of Jesus who's had a crushing disappointment that prayer didn't, quote, fix, has felt like giving up on prayer. And so whenever you feel like that, one of the best things you can do is take a step back and ask yourself the question, well, what do I really believe about prayer in the first place? You know, I've found that a lot of followers of Jesus, if they're honest, they sort of believe about prayer that prayer is kind of like rubbing the Aladdin's lamp. And I just rub this lamp, say this prayer in this way, in Jesus' name, and then all of a sudden Jesus comes out of the lamp and he says to me, your wish is my command. No, that's not what prayer is. Prayer is developing a relationship, a deeper relationship with God the Father. You know, one of the major things that Jesus taught about prayer is found in Luke 18, verse 1. It says this, now Jesus was telling them a parable, and this is the part I want you to underline, to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Amen. You know what Jesus was saying to them? And he's saying it to us today. He's saying, don't lose heart about praying. Keep on doing it. Because God the Father listens to every one of your prayer requests. And God the Father cares deeply about every single thing that you bring to his attention. And God the Father has unlimited power to change whatever it is that you need change. But, listen carefully, we also need to understand that God does not answer every prayer we pray in the way that we want him to answer it. and not in the timing that we want him to answer it. And there are a lot of reasons for that. Some of those reasons I don't believe we'll ever know this side of eternity. But Jesus said to weak and weary prayers, keep on praying. No matter what, keep on praying. Don't lose heart. Because the truth is, you have no idea how much your conversations with God mean to him. You have no idea how much your conversations with God mean to God. Those of you who are separated geographically from one of your children, maybe because of a divorce, or because they're in college or in the military, whatever, you can kind of relate to this. Because whenever your child that you're separated geographically from, whenever they call home, it doesn't really matter what you talk about with them. It's just great to hear their voice. It's just great to hear their voice. You know, I'm from the state of Washington. I moved to Phoenix to go to college. And I did not know one single person in Phoenix at all. And so it was very lonely at the beginning. And I can just remember calling home and talking to my parents. It was so wonderful just to hear their voice. And they said the same thing to me. Brian, thanks for calling. It's so great to hear your voice. And that's exactly the way that God feels. See, when we pray, the first thing God thinks in heaven is this. Before we go any further, I just want you to know, it's so great to hear your voice. Every time you pray, that's how God feels. And not only that, but you have no idea how carefully God listens to every one of your concerns. And you have no idea how thoroughly God enjoys just spending time with you. And you have no idea how earnestly God engages in the concerns that you bring his way. And you have no idea how eager God is to do what's best for you in every single situation. Not always what we want, but always what's best for us. Because the fact is, you matter to God. Amen. You do. You matter to God. And God loves it. He loves it when you pray. I want to tell you about a woman who came up to me not long ago after one of our baptism services. She had tears in her eyes. And she said to me, Brian, my husband was baptized today. And I've been praying for him for 20 years. That's why I'm crying. Because I nearly gave up on praying for him. Brian, I came this close, to giving up on praying for him. At the 5-year mark, I said to myself, who needs this? God's not going to answer this prayer. He's not even listening. At the 10-year mark, I said, why am I wasting my time praying like this? Nothing's ever going to change. At the 15-year mark, I said, this is crazy. At the 19-year mark, I said, I'm such a fool to keep on praying like this. But I just kept praying, she said. Even with little or no faith, I just kept praying. And then the craziest thing happened. All of a sudden, my husband said that he wanted to start coming to church with me. And so he started coming to the Vineyard with me. And he didn't come every week, but he came quite often. And then a few weeks ago, when you gave an opportunity for people to come to the front and to surrender their life to Jesus, I could not believe it. My husband got up out of his chair, and he walked down to the front, and he surrendered his life to Jesus. And today, he was baptized. And then she said this, and this is what I want you to get. She said, I will never doubt the power of prayer again. I will never doubt. What about you? You know, I know some of you, have unanswered prayers that you've been praying for a long time, maybe years, maybe decades. Maybe you've been praying for a loved one to come to know Christ. Maybe you've been praying for a baby. Maybe you've been praying for a spouse. Maybe you've been praying for a healing of some kind or an addiction of some kind to be broken. And maybe you're like her. Maybe you're this close to giving up on prayer. If that's the case, I want to tell you again on behalf of Jesus Christ, don't lose heart. Because God can break in at any moment and change everything. Keep on praying. Because prayer is part of our essential equipment for life. And so we're going to actually end our service this morning by doing what I've just been talking about. We're going to pray. We're going to pray as individuals. I don't know what you need God to answer in the form of prayer. Could be a big thing. Could be a small thing. I don't know. But I know that every one of us, we all have things that we'd love for God to break in and to answer concerning our prayers. And so I've asked the band to lead in a song. They're going to sing this song. But what I want you to do is I want you to take your prayer requests to God. Big or small, doesn't matter. You matter to God. And your requests matter to God. And He wants you to take them to Him this morning. And the first thing that God will say to you is, hey, before you go on any further, I just want you to know, it's so great to hear your voice. It's so great to hear your voice. You know, different people like to pray in different ways. You can just sit where you're seated and pray. You can come to the front and pray at the altar. You can kneel at the altar. You can go in the aisleways, kneel there. You can stand any way that you would like to pray. But we're going to take our request to God. And maybe there's some business that you need to get right with God during this prayer time. That's okay. Maybe you need to say, God, I need to carve out a time and a place so I can start making it part of my routine. Lord, would you show me what time and what place would work? Maybe you need to make a commitment to that. If there's something like that you need to do, then take this time to do that. So we're going to pray, they're going to lead, and then I'll come back and close the service.
Father of mercy, you have poured out grace. You brought me out of darkness. You have filled me with peace. Giver of mercy, all my help in times of need. Lord, I can't help but sing. Thank you. your promises, my confidence. Is your faithfulness, and I will rest in your promises, my confidence. You are faithful.
God is faithful. Don't give up on prayer. Even if you're this close, don't give up. You never know when God can break in and change everything. Prayer is part of our essential equipment for life. I want to pray a blessing over us before we go. If you would stand. You know, maybe you'd like somebody to pray for you specifically about maybe what you were praying for, or maybe something different. But we would love to pray for you if you have a prayer need in any of any kind this morning. So we'll have a ministry team up here at the front when I dismiss the service, which is in just 30 seconds. And so if you want to stick around, come to the front. We would love to pray for you. If you're 18 to 35, if you have any questions about CauseCon, make sure you go out to the table. If you don't have any questions, then sign up, all right? Sign up for CauseCon. I think it's going to be life-changing, life-altering for some of you, for many of you, actually. So go out to the table, sign up, or just sign up on your phone. Let me pray for you, and if the ministry team would come up. Lord, thank you for your presence here. Thank you for the essential equipment that you've given us called prayer, connecting with you. Help us, God, to never get away from the basics, the fundamentals of connecting with you through prayer. I pray for those that need to have a specific time and a specific place. Lord, I pray that you'd lead them in that and help us become men and women of prayer, Lord. Bless all my friends now as they go. Bless them, keep them, cause your face to shine upon them, be gracious to them. Lift up your favor upon them, God, and give them peace. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Say hi to some people on your way out. Introduce yourself. Hey, have a great day. We'll see you soon.